Ephesians 5, all right? You should be there at this point. All right, let's read that together again. Verse number 8 to verse number 15. Note it with your eyes. I'll read it to you aloud. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And everything that we do, that's key, that is so key, that we must prove it to see if God accepts it, all right? For we were created for his pleasure, as it says in Revelation 4 and verse number 11. Verse 11 here, and have no fellowship, very clear, with the unfruitful works of darkness. Unfruitful doesn't mount anything good, all right? But rather reprove them. All right, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And if we are very humble today and very honest about our own lives, I'm sure there are some things we would be ashamed if it was known to everybody else. And I'm so glad that God carries out the act and the principle of privacy, and he deals with us in an individual basis. And it's neat that if we keep our account short with God, and if God deals with us with our sins and we act upon it, sins of our private life, he promises that he will cover our sins. But unconfessed sins, things that we keep doing in our lives and we have no plans of trying to fix it, you know, we have no regret or it has seared our conscience in some ways, we have gotten used to doing it, He will make that manifest. Why? So that we can get help. You have to understand, sin, as much as we don't want to be known to be doing things that are wrong, what's more dangerous than our reputation being tarnished is the fact that sin will destroy us. And it will destroy other people. And so God will get in the middle of it. And if he has to use other people to help you, he will sometimes reveal some things that are secret. So I would suggest, if God reveals something through you and nobody knows, and you know about it, you and God, I would make it short with him and say, God, I already heard you. I'm doing something about it. God, help me, Holy Ghost. I don't want to keep doing it. And you know what? He has a way of keeping that quiet. Now, there's some things that we do publicly, and so mind you, be careful how you react and how you act, because those public things that you do, God will require that of you publicly. All right? If somebody came through this door and started yelling profanity, guess what? It would be good for that person later when he realizes or she realizes that was not a good behavior, that they would come to all of us present and say, hey, that was wrong what I did. I'm sorry. That's the rightful way of doing that. All right? But so think about that here in this verse. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But verse number 13, here's the point. That's why I made all those disclaimer because of verse number 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. See, don't think when you get caught doing sin, this is not the Sunday school lesson, but God's impressing my heart to talk about it. But when you get caught doing wrong, we tend to have what the Bible says, the sorrow of the world. We got sorry, we got caught. And a lot of people get sorry when you get caught. Well, your hands got caught, right? You're red-handed. You're in trouble. And there's no wiggle room out of that. But the Word of God and God himself, the Holy Ghost, is seeking always his will. And he lusts. The Bible says his desire, his strong desire, is for us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And to be conformed is to be like, to be made like. And if Jesus is sinless, guess what? His goal always is to eradicate sin in our lives. And so don't be uncomfortable. Don't be uncomfortable when a preacher preaches truth that is hard to maybe for you to listen to because the Holy Spirit just saying to you, he's right, he's right. You have this in your life. Take care of it. Don't respond and say, I'm going to shut that all off. Don't respond like the Pharaoh and says, I'm going to harden my heart. I don't want to listen to it. Get off my back. What you should do is say, thank you, Lord, for pointing that out. That pastor has no clue what's happening in my life, but you're using him to reprove me through your word. You have shown to me you are very involved in the detail of my life, and you're trying to help me. And your response should be one of thankfulness and say, thank you for bringing something to light in my life that was hidden in darkness where I couldn't see it and I couldn't do something about it. But now you have brought it into light. And so that's the beautiful thing about verse 13. But all things are reproved, being corrected. And reproved means it's a harsh tone. It's an authoritative tone when it's saying, no, don't do that. What's harder than that is rebuke. That's the next step. Rebuke carries a little bit more serious, but reproof is pretty serious. It's serious enough that a friend would go to you and say, I know some things about you, and I don't talk about it to anybody else, but I really am led by God to tell you this because my Bible says, and I need to let you know because you're my friend, you shouldn't be doing this, right? And so the Bible says here in verse 13, for all things are reproved and are made manifest by light, for whatsoever that make manifest is light. And we say that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And Jesus in John 1 says he's the Word. And so thus the Word of God brings to light things that are in darkness. Things that are hidden. The Bible says it is a discerner of both the thought and intent of the heart. It knows right now what you're thinking. If you like my new brown suit or not, it knows. It knows all of that. If you have sympathy for my fashion choices of life, it knows all of that, just making light of that. But at any rate, God knows. And his word is going to be used. And the Holy Ghost of God is so powerful that he can multitask and really work on you on an individual basis. It's really cool. Some of these thoughts and principles that is put in this topic we're talking about of media, all right? When it comes to raising our children in media. The funny thing about the media is it's open. It is so open. All right? It is meant to be open. Right? It's meant for you to access it, to get information. That's what the media is. A blogger doesn't want you not to be friends. You know, anybody that does anything on YouTube channel, please like and subscribe and ring the bell. You know. You know what all that means. Why? Because those doing those things in the digital fashion shows you're responding. You're responding to the content that is being presented to you. And it's showing that, hey, they want this content. And so ring the notification bell. If I have a new new information, it will notify you to come and watch. All right? And media is so open, right? But when it comes to raising the children, because of the disconnect of parents right now with our a lot of illiteracy when it comes to media and technology, it has hampered us in raising our children, and our children get to know a lot more about techie computer things and cell phones and iPad and internet and apps and all of those. Some of you are looking at me like, what are even those things? And so they have been inundated with that because our world is a fast-moving world, and it's just right there to them. You can have an app on anything. And even I was getting my license to fish. It expired last year, so I want to go renew it. I want to be a good citizen and be a good, honest New York resident, that I will not get a sunfish or a pumpkin seed fish or any kind of catfish without having paid $25 to our great state for me to fish, all right? And then I'm going to go ahead for the first time, go hunting. I haven't hunted in a long time, and get big game and all of those things like that. Now, things have changed. Everything was paperwork. Now it's all digital. There's records of me now that you can look up on a system, and that system is attached now to an app. You don't have to bring your tags and put it on your head. Some of you are thinking of hunting. You have to have your hat, and it's going to have that cute little plastic Ziploc thing, and you put your colored tags. Now it's all paper, and now it's all on an app. Guys, there's a QR code, and I could download an app, and all of my tags can be recorded in there, in an app. That has changed so drastically. And life is just going to continue going that direction. Everything has an app. All right, you can monitor your heartbeat at every second of every day. You can monitor how long you sleep. It's just incredible. And a lot of times, we kind of have left that area of life kind of exist on its own. Because a lot of us live on the physical world. Right? And some of these are digital. Some of these are things that we can't access unless we have internet on our phone or on our computer. And some of us don't even do that. Some of you still have a landline phone. We've moved on. Some of you guys, this is the sign to call. That's not the sign to call no more. They either do this now. Let's FaceTime. All right? My kids go like this. They don't go like this. And things have changed. And so part of this lesson is to keep us aware of that. I have no way to teach you all of that. And I think the answer is not for you to know every little detail of the change, but to get the principle down that the devil likes to use media. And when I say media, that's all inclusive in television and shows and apps and streaming apps and just everything to do with the digital world and electronics, all of those, all encompassing. When I say that in a very general way, as parents, we have to be aware whether we like to or not. I'm kind of on the latter end of this. I know what this means still. I also know what this means now, right? But there will be a day that those signs will not mean anything to my kids. And how Mariah navigates through the iPad, incredible. How in the world did you do that? And how does that a two-year-old that maybe gets once a week usage of such a device, but yet knows how to use it? And so we had some reviews. I'm not going to go through these, Mom. I'm going to skip a bunch of it. Go to frame number 8. Frame number 8 on your PowerPoint. You got that? She's great. Yep. Frame number 8. Perfect. 32% of 11-year-olds and 55% of all 12-year-olds are already on Facebook. And now this publication of this curriculum was done in 2016. 2016 from now, it's almost a decade ago. Some of these stats I'm giving you is almost a decade ago. And how things move fast. And it was even cited in this curriculum that by the time you're using this and it's done in publication, there might be new sites or there might be new stats. And I don't know the stats of now, but in 2016, most everybody by 12 years of age already has a Facebook account. And that was one of those nice, family, really oriented social platform. Because before that, everybody remember? MySpace. Who had a MySpace? You wicked heathen you. No, just kidding. That was MySpace. And MySpace had the idea, but were very limited in its parameters. And it was really became, and some of you that would recollect, it had a lot of vulgarity because you could do whatever you want, and it just shows. But Facebook kind of dampened that down and kind of tries to approach it from a family, more of a innocent and more of a tool, right? Now it's still crazy in there. But I'm telling you, who's got Facebook? I can guarantee you some of our senior citizens will raise their hand. And exactly they did. All our young ladies raised their hand. Facebook is now considered in our day. I'm going to say a word that I don't offend anybody. Old people platform. That is what it's considered today. Now, a lot of young people still use it. But things have changed, and there's a few more platforms now that's being used. I know of Discord. I know of other platforms such as Twitter. And what's another one, guys? Shout it out. Instagram, TikTok, Snapshot. You guys all know. So those have changed, some of those. So you will find old, young, wonderful individuals on Facebook getting together, you know, but you don't find a lot of the teenagers using Facebook solely as the media now. It has changed. Do I have a Facebook account? I had once. It's so been unused for so long. It remains active for a very long time, but I think I haven't used it so long, I think I can't even access it now. I share with my wife. Some of you know I share with my wife. Anything that my wife gets, I see in the messenger, all of those. That's why I'm involved with those. But I don't have a Snapchat. I don't have a TikTok. I don't have Twitter. I don't have any of those. So I'm totally lost when it comes to those. I know a few things about Snapchat. And I told you last week, Snapchat, they can record anything that they do video-wise or text, and it'll be sent to the other party, and it will be automatically deleted within a few minutes. And so some teenagers have found a loophole. Nobody can search my history on this because I could do a few things in a few moments of time and nobody would know except for the people that keep it in their memory. They saw somebody naked or they saw somebody text a very, very provocative text and they got it. But you would never know as a parent. Now, in the internet, if you were using internet, there is history on the internet that you could go back to and search it out. And so they're finding ways, you know, to make it the way that is where accountability is very, very, very not even existent, all right? So another statistic here, 70% of online teens have profiles on social networking sites. 73%. 47% of online teens have, between 12 and 17, have uploaded photos of themselves. So realize any photo you have online is accessible. That means it's not just your friends on Facebook that get to see them, although there's some parameters now that you could just keep it that way. But any photos you have, if you search Kristen Elizabeth Barron, our blog site will pop out and you'll get a mug of me. You'll get a picture of me. Anybody in the world can get a picture of that. And there's very, very many people that do very, very wicked thing with pictures online. And so our country has kind of tried to help us out in that it is common in our culture today that we don't take picture of kids. You understand? That's why it's coming. Because of child trafficking and all of that crazy mess. Pictures are needed. People can't be there. Well, they need a picture if they're going to be interested. I don't even want to give it credit, so I'm going to leave it alone. But what I'm saying is pictures are dangerous, very dangerous on the computer. Now, you're saying that, Pastor Chris, but you have a bunch of your pictures. Yeah, I've almost got worth 92 gigabyte worth of videos and pictures of my family alone. And because you're my friend and we had taken a picture together, guess what? You go to my church and we have taken pictures of our events. Guess what? It is in the Google Drive. It's in Google Photo. It is in the Google Cloud. People can access that, right? That's our world. Back in the day, if they want a picture of you, well, you have to go to the developing place, and they develop your film, and they come out, and the people that are developing it at Walmart at one point can see your pictures. So you might not want them, but you have to get your film developed, and then you put it on an album, and then the only people that get to see your pictures are the people you actually let in your home, or you bring the album wherever you go, and you show them. That's the only way. That's not the case no more. That's not the case no more. So people are wearing bikinis, and they're wearing it, and they happen to take a picture of that. Guess what? Everybody sees that. If we have access to that, we'll get it. All right? And other things that you do, all right? It's just the way it's going. So you have to make your own stand on some of those. Some people decide not to be taking pictures. I don't want my picture anywhere. And they go on very, very, a lot of lengths to protect themselves. And I don't know if that's even possible at times. To completely get your picture out of the internet. I'm not sure. 40% of online teens, all right? 14% have posted videos. So active picture. Videos, obviously, are active pictures. They're not still pictures. They're active. They're doing something. They're either blowing out a candle from their birthday, or they're out eating at a restaurant, and they take a picture and a video of them having a beautiful steak or something like that. 50% of teens have posted, and this is a scary one, 53% of teens have posted provocative, inappropriate photos or information online. 53%. 35% posted contents about themselves drinking or doing drugs. 29% showed poor communication skills, can't spell. All right, and sometimes a lot of you know texts in some form now these days are all shortcutted. I'm texting you, so I know some. I don't know if I'm right, but if I want to say I use the word text, T-E-X-T, you can just use T-X-T. All right, and there's other abbreviation for other things: laugh out loud, LOL, and then other things that I don't even know anymore. Okay. 26% made discriminatory comments, all right? A lot of times now, people have lost any kind of privacy of self-thinking in the sense of that your thought life, some of the people's thought lives are being presented now in forms of videos, activities, and pictures that they have posted online. I don't need to know what you're eating in the morning, but now I do. I don't know what you look like when you get up in the morning, but now I do. I don't know how you act or what you think about a particular subject, but now I got plenty an idea now of how you think about it because the way you reacted and how you videoed it and how you just land blasted it through your text and through your chatting and through your, I just know now. There's very little privacy when it comes to those things. So in all of these things, how can Christian parents, many of whom feel they're increasingly failing behind in what their kids know about media, and many of whom are addicted to technology themselves, help their children understand and tame the media monster? How in the world are we going to do this? And I'm going to skip right to the Roman number one. We kind of covered this. I just don't have, there's so much note on that. I don't want to take time to review it. You have to go back 2 weeks and look that up. But I want to go to point number one, and that is prove. Prove. And we looked at that on verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter number 5. And it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In everything that we do as a Christian, we search the scriptures, whether those things are acceptable for us to participate in, involve ourselves in, include in our life, and have a part of us. Right? Because we're Christian. We're supposed to be like Jesus Christ. And so he is then, and his word, his Holy Ghost works together, and the institution he has set up, it should be the church helping us get closer to Jesus Christ. And all that involved in the church, the Sunday school teacher, the junior church workers, the club workers, teen department leaders, just all around, the pastor, the assistant pastor, the pastor at large, the treasurer, you name it. Anybody involved in the church, the young lady in the church, the older lady in the church, all of that scripturally teaches us that we have an influence and we're supposed to help one another. When we say church, it's all inclusive in all of those things, that all of those are working together to get us close to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in matters of dress, in matters of activity, in matters of words we say, in matters of behavior, in matters of character, should we be lazy or should we be diligent? Should we be prayerful or should we neglect prayer? Should we sing unto the Lord or should we keep quiet? Should we share the gospel? All of those, right? So as the media in our life, the digital things that, although it is broadcasted to the world, a lot of times, as parents, because of our illiteracy, we don't know so much about it. Our children that are coming behind us are getting a little bit more hands-on education, and they know more. Guess what? In this disconnect, we have to bridge the gap of disconnect, and we have to take initiative to learn, because in this area of their life, in our life, what we post, what we like, what we love, on all of those media and what we watch and the streaming that we put into our mind and ears and eyes and all of the things we let influence ourselves. Guess what? Guess what? They fall under the same principle. Are they acceptable unto the Lord? And you have to prove that. Well, it's only a reel. It was funny. Well, how's the woman dressed in your reels that you're watching? What are they promoting? I'm preaching this morning, and man, our world is so anti anything organized and anti authority that God has set up in Romans 13. And it's seeping through the church, it's seeping through our homes, and are raising a generation that don't even know what respect means. I'm preaching now. Let me go back to teaching. It's so inundated in our culture. And you cannot sit and say, this is too much, Pastor Chris. I don't even understand you. Believe me, I don't either. And guess what? I'm learning. I'm learning with you, and I hope you're learning. I hope you're taking the time to not put your head on the sand about the subject. What are my kids watching on their cell phone? What is your kid's diet like when it comes to this? What are they watching? Do they have one? Do they have data? What are you pumping in through the internet at your home? What are they doing in the computer when you're not there? So I was saying to you, everything is public, right? But a lot of times, parents, because of disconnect, it is hidden to us. Of all people, we should be the one that knows more than the people that they're influencing. You, by the time you know it, your kids are an influencer and you don't even know. And you need to find out, what are you influencing people to do? How to pick your boogers right. And a lot of times what they deem important is very trivial on some of these TikTok situations. Women burping. Young ladies burping. Ladies, you should fall over where you're sitting. As a generation that you lived, you knew what proper etiquette is. And how a woman should not be even heard to make any noise of any kind, of any place. I shouldn't even be talking about it. It's not even a subject matter that should be talked about. But I think we should go back to the time and say, hey, this is the proper way to sit down on a chair. This is a proper way when you are on public. How to behave at a restaurant. It's all slipping away. I remember things that I was taught. Did you know that there's some etiquette when you're walking and you're having an older gentleman or an older lady and you're walking, you're heading straight to each other, that you move to the side, to the right, not to the left. I've learned. I had an older gentleman, you know, Brother Joe B.A., quiet man, but a very respectable man. I don't even know him very well. But the things that I know about him and the things that he carries himself in this, I said, man, that generation is going. And the things that they know is gone. And I'm in the middle of that. I've seen that that could be a good thing. How can I impart it to my kids? My kids are crazy. For them to even know that when an adult comes and you face them, that they need to turn to the side. Guess what? I have to teach them that. I have to do that myself. So that they learn that that's the right, proper way of doing that. You give them the go-ahead. They get the right of way. And that used to be, culturally in our country, a sign of respect. All right. Any of you not a senior citizen even know that? Good, brother. Now, be honest with me. Don't raise your hand. This is rhetorical. How many of you practice that when you go to Walmart? How many of you practice that when you go to Tops? How many of you practice that when you're about to go into the convenience store? How many times you have thought about that so much that you actually practice that when you go to the doctor's office? I know, and I fail. And you say, well, that's not important, Pastor Chris. It's not in the scripture. Yeah, but it's a culture. I would admit that that was a good thing. Right, even though you can't, you have to go to the right. And so everything in the church house, wearing ties, wearing suits, has been what? Eradicated in some major. If we were a whoo kind of church, I want to be like a whoo kind of church, right? But if you are in one of those whoo, they're in the whoo kind of church. I can guarantee you the pastor will not have a tie on. And you say, Pastor, why do you guys still wear ties? Because this represents a little bit of what we call respect in our culture. And some of you have talked to me about my barong, and I appreciate you doing that. Because you carry a little bit of what our old and our generation before us feel about wearing tie in the church. Now, are you wicked for not wearing a tie? Well, you am I wicked for wearing a barong? So some of those in and itself is not a big deal. But in raising children, we're humans. And we belong to a culture, whether we like it or not. I can't make you eat rice every day. I would be stupid to try to enforce in this church, if you want to be a good member, you eat rice morning, noon, and night. Why? Because that's my preference as your pastor. I can't prove that. I can't make you wear shirts and tie. But the culture helps, and it doesn't deter us from following God's clear commands. In fact, the reason why they set up things like these is because those men and women are in their hearts. What they wanted it to be is to show God, we respect you. And I understand there's a lot of hypocrisy and there's a lot of fakeness. And our generation is tired of being faked out, and we can sniff it. Just like if you go to the reservation, you know there's some things that should not be being burnt, but you can smell it. And you know what I mean. I never knew what the smell of that particular item was, but now I do because I live in the reservation area, near the reservation, right? And you smell it as you drive. You can tell when you walk out and you're going to get gas at the reservation, it's just sad. It's just when you get out, you smell it. Something I've never smelled before, but now I do. And so in this idea of media, we have to prove it. The world translate prove here refers to testing, as in testing metals for genuineness. The implication is that we don't simply accept or participate in anything and everything interesting that flickers across our screens. But we must test it to determine if it is pleasing to the Lord. It is whether or not this is acceptable unto the Lord. And how do we know what is acceptable unto the Lord? God uses the ministry of the Holy Ghost, His word, and as well as the work He does through us to make us clear, to make this clear to us. There's a relationship between the word, the Holy Ghost, the author of the word, the saved individual, that's us, and the Holy Ghost living inside of us. Our teacher to guide us into all truth always and ever exists right in us. And he never promotes, he never teaches contradictory to the word of God. And it's not hard for us to find what God says and how he thinks about particular principles and thoughts if we are in his word and we are working with the Holy Ghost and we're saved. God says he'll give us spiritual discernment. And this is not something we're confused about. This is not something we're going to struggle with. This is something that we don't have to be ignorant about. This is something that we don't have to ignore. But we can be a champion in. That we could be very, very good at. Not because of us, but because of the Holy Ghost. And so, may I suggest, if anything, at this Sunday school hour, is for us to say, man, there's so many things you said I don't even know about, but by prayer, Pastor Chris, I'm going to join you as you raise your children and you raising yours. Let's join together and pray and let the Word of God be so enriched and richly dwelling in us and we having a clear relationship with the Holy Ghost that God would lighten up His Word and reveal some truth to us so that we can use that in teaching our children. You know why you don't watch Netflix or you don't watch Prime? You don't watch this app? You know why you don't should text and why mom and dad will not let you have a phone? Because the Lord of Jesus Christ through His Word and the Holy Ghost is teaching us this is what we need to do. And then you give them principles from the Word of God and you help them navigate their way through this media monster. And that's what we want to do. And God says, in letter A here, we're not going to have time. There's three different things, but we'll work on it next time. I just don't want to spend any more time because of our time is short. Let's go ahead and pray. And I hope I've gotten back again to get us in this mindset of that we need to be awake, alive, alert about the situation, and we need to actively praying for God to help us make some good parameters and boundaries to our children. Simply to say this, I know this enough. I will not have my kids have a cell phone. I know that enough for what I know. And also, I will not have them unguarded, unsupervised access to the internet anywhere at all. I already know that 100%. So we know some things. So it's not like we don't know everything, but we know some. Let's start with some of those and let the Holy Spirit guide us through the Word of God so that we can share the Word of God with our kids, not just our opinions. All right? Let us pray. Lord, thank you. There's so much to unravel and take apart here with this idea. Bless us. Our time is short. Bless the people that are here. Guide us now in the next service in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.